Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into some of the most well-known miracles of Jesus today.
We'll be looking at feeding the 5,000.
And walking on water.
Yeah.
We're going to see how these amazing feats connect to a deeper message about spiritual nourishment. We're going to be using the Gospel of John to help us with this.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating how these miracles take place, right, during Passover.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
A time when, you know, the Jewish people were celebrating their freedom from slavery.
Right.
So you already have this backdrop of hope, right, and new beginnings, which adds another layer of meaning to what's about to happen.
That's such a good point. It's like the perfect setting.
Yeah.
For something amazing to happen.
Yeah.
And speaking of amazing, can you imagine being there when Jesus fed the 5,000? I mean, it wasn't just 5,000 men. It was 5,000 men plus women and children.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some historians think that the crowd could have been over 10,000 people.
Oh.
It's mind-boggling when you think about the sheer scale of it. And they're in this remote location, no supermarkets or catering trucks in sight.
No Uber Eats.
No, nothing. You can practically feel the disciples panic when Jesus asks them to feed everyone.
Yeah, that's that moment when you realize you've got people coming over for dinner and you forgot to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what do the disciples do? Well, we see Philip, ever the pragmatist, he points out just how impossible this is, financially speaking. He says that even 200 denarii,
which was a fortune.
Oh, a small fortune. Yeah. Wouldn't be enough to buy even a tiny bit of bread for everyone.
Yeah, just a little snack.
Just a little bit.
So they're really stuck in this scarcity mindset.
Totally.
It's like they're completely limited by their perception of what's even possible.
Yeah.
But then, you know, this glimmer of hope appears. This young boy steps forward with his lunch. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
It's such a tiny offering compared to the huge need.
Right.
And yet this seemingly insignificant lunch ends up being this catalyst for this amazing display of abundance.
This is where I get goosebumps, you know?
Yeah.
Because Jesus doesn't just snap his fingers and make all this food appear, right?
Right.
He takes the bread and fish, looks up to heaven, and gives thanks. He expresses gratitude before the miracle occurs. Do you think that that's significant?
It's fascinating. Gratitude might actually be like a key ingredient.
Oh.
Not just in this miracle, but in experiencing abundance in our lives too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. When we focus on what we're missing, we feel stuck, right? We feel limited. But when we change our perspective and we're grateful, we open ourselves up to seeing the blessings that are already present.
That's so true.
And that's when we start to believe in possibilities.
It's like that saying, gratitude turns what we have into enough.
I love that.
But it's not just about the food, right?
Right.
There's something bigger happening here.
You can definitely see it in the instruction to gather the leftovers, right? Even in this miraculous abundance, there's this lesson about avoiding wastefulness and appreciating the value of what we've been given. Abundance isn't just about having a lot. It's about being mindful and respectful of what we have.
And that's so important. So we've seen this incredible display of physical provision.
Right.
But now the story changes. It's nightfall. The sea is stormy. And the disciples are battling the waves. They're rowing against the wind.
Imagine yourself in that situation.
Oh, man.
It's dark. The boat is being tossed around. And you're fighting for your life.
Yeah.
Then through the mist and the waves, you see a figure walking on the water.
I don't think I'd believe my eyes. I mean, no wonder they were scared.
Oh, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And this is where it gets interesting for me, right?
Okay.
Their fear just completely distorts what they're seeing.
What?
It's like their anxiety is blinding them to what's actually happening.
Right.
Don't we do that sometimes too?
All the time.
Our fears and our worries, they can make it really hard to see clearly. And they can keep us from recognizing help or opportunities that are right in front of us.
Totally. But then Jesus speaks. He says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." It's so simple, but so powerful.
It's like the perfect response to fear, recognizing that we are not alone, you know, that there's something bigger than us, even in our darkest moments.
And what happens next is amazing. As soon as Jesus steps into the boat, the storm stops and they get to where they were going immediately. It's like his presence just brings peace and stability.
I love that. It's like faith is our spiritual GPS and engine, you know, guiding us through the storms of life and helping us reach our goals, even when it feels impossible.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these two incredible miracles, one showing like physical provision,
right,
and the other showing the power of faith, like, to overcome fear.
Yeah.
You would think that that's the end, right? Like a good ending to the story.
Right.
But it's really just the beginning, because now the crowd who saw the feeding of the 5,000.
They go looking for Jesus again the next day.
Wow.
And it's interesting, you know, to think about why, right?
Right.
What's their motivation?
Yeah.
I mean, they aren't really looking for a deeper spiritual understanding.
Wow.
They're still fixated on that physical miracle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They basically just want more free food.
Yeah, they're missing the point completely.
Totally.
But Jesus, you know, instead of just giving them another meal, he does something unexpected.
Right.
He challenges them with this really powerful statement that changes everything.
He says, don't just work for the food that spoils. Work for the food that endures to eternal life.
Wow.
He's like shifting their focus away from just material satisfaction to something much more lasting and fulfilling, you know?
Yeah, like spiritual nourishment.
Exactly.
It reminds me of that saying, man shall not live by bread alone, you know?
Yeah.
But what is the spiritual food?
And that's where things get interesting, right?
Okay.
Jesus makes one of the most profound and probably most misunderstood statements of his ministry. He says, I am the bread of life. This is so symbolic. Let's unpack it a little.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
So just like physical bread nourishes us and gives us energy, right?
Okay.
Jesus is offering himself as spiritual sustenance, as that which can satisfy our deepest longings, you know, for meaning and purpose.
So it's not about physically eating bread, but about receiving something from Jesus that nourishes our souls.
Exactly. It's about connecting with the divine in a way that brings lasting fulfillment, a kind that nothing on earth can provide.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But the crowd doesn't really get it, do they?
Not really, no.
They take his words literally, right?
Yeah.
And they're arguing with each other, like, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
It's understandable that they're confused.
Yeah.
They're thinking about it literally and missing the deeper meaning, right?
Yeah. So he's not talking about cannibalism.
No, definitely not.
He's pointing to something deeper.
Yeah.
So how do we make sense of this then? Like, what's he getting at?
So this idea of eating the bread of life is actually connected to the Eucharist.
Oh, okay.
Which becomes central to Christianity.
Can you give us like a quick explanation of the Eucharist for anyone who's not familiar with it?
Yeah. So in the Eucharist, bread and wine are consecrated and shared.
Okay.
As symbols of Christ's body and blood.
Right.
But not literally.
Right.
It's a symbolic act of remembering Jesus' sacrifice and experiencing communion with him. You know,
okay.
It's about receiving his presence into our very being.
So through the Eucharist, we are spiritually nourished by Christ.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's really beautiful.
It's about connecting with Jesus on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Allowing his teachings and his spirit to change us from within.
This is so interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But some people today might struggle with this idea too.
Of course, not everyone back then was ready to embrace it.
Right.
And it's still challenging for many today.
Why is that? Why would they walk away from such a profound message?
Because following Jesus is more than just seeing miracles or enjoying the good things he gives us.
You're right.
It's about transforming our hearts and minds, being willing to embrace teachings that might be hard for us to understand, you know?
Yeah, he's asking, I can feed your body, but will you let me feed your soul?
Exactly. It's about going beyond just surface level satisfaction and seeking a connection with the divine.
And it's amazing to see how differently everyone reacts to this.
Yeah.
Some are confused, some are skeptical, and some, like Peter, have this amazing moment of clarity.
Yeah.
He says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What do you think about what Peter's saying here?
Well, it's fascinating because Peter seems to understand, even if not completely, right?
Right.
He recognizes that Jesus is offering something so much more valuable than anything else.
Wow.
And his words are so different from everyone else's doubt and uncertainty.
Yeah.
Even among those closest to Jesus, you know, there were different levels of acceptance.
It's a reminder that faith is a journey.
Yeah.
We're all at different points, and that's okay.
Exactly. The important thing is to keep seeking, to keep exploring, to keep asking questions, even when we don't have the answers.
So we've moved from these spectacular miracles to this deeper message about spiritual nourishment.
Right.
And it seems like the key takeaway is that real fulfillment comes from seeking a lasting connection with something bigger than us.
Perfectly said.
But there's this one detail that I find really interesting.
Okay.
Remember how Jesus gave thanks before feeding the 5,000?
Yeah.
That little act of gratitude seems to be what unlocked this incredible abundance.
Right.
Do you think there's a connection between gratitude and spiritual nourishment?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think there is a deep connection there. Yeah.
Okay.
When we're grateful, we open ourselves up to experiencing the abundance that's already there, physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
We start to see the world with appreciation, not scarcity.
Right.
And we start to recognize the gifts around us, even when things are hard.
It's like gratitude is a key.
Yes.
To a richer, more fulfilling life. But how do we actually do that? You know, be grateful.
Yeah.
Especially when life is hard. What are some practical steps?
Well, you can keep a gratitude journal.
Oh, okay.
Every day, write down three things you're grateful for, no matter how small.
Like what?
Like a warm cup of coffee, a sunny day, a kind word from a friend, you know.
Yeah.
By focusing on these good things, we shift our attention away from what we lack and towards what we have.
It's like training your mind to see the good.
Exactly.
Even when things are tough.
Yeah.
I like that.
And another powerful practice is to actually express our gratitude to others.
Oh, okay.
Like a simple thank you to a cashier.
Yeah.
Or a heartfelt letter to someone you love.
Yeah.
Expressing gratitude not only makes someone else's day better, but it also makes us feel more appreciative.
I like that.
Yeah.
Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
But what about when we just feel so overwhelmed with negativity? How do we find gratitude then?
In those times, it can help to focus on the simple things.
Okay.
Notice the beauty of nature.
Yeah.
Enjoy a meal. Or just take a few deep breaths and appreciate being alive.
Right.
Remember that even in the darkest times, there are always things to be grateful for.
It's like reminding ourselves that even though there's a storm outside, we have a safe place inside.
Beautifully put. And that safe place is often found in gratitude.
I like that.
Yeah.
So gratitude isn't just a nice feeling.
No.
It's this powerful practice that can change how we experience life.
Completely agree.
It's like choosing to focus on the light, even when it's dark.
Precisely. And that choice can change everything, you know?
Yeah.
It can lead us to that deeper spiritual nourishment that Jesus was talking about, the bread of life that really sustains us.
This has been such a great conversation.
It really has.
We've explored the miracles, the symbolism, and the power of gratitude.
Yeah.
But I still have this one question, you know?
Ooh.
If these miracles are about something deeper, something beyond the physical, why do they happen in such a spectacular way?
That's a really good question. And I think it shows how we as humans learn and grow, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes we need those big moments, those experiences that wake us up and make us pay attention.
It's like we need to be shocked into awareness.
Exactly. If Jesus had just said, "I'm the bread of life," people might not have listened, right?
Right, yeah.
But by doing these amazing miracles, he grabbed their attention.
Yeah.
And he opened up a space for them to hear something new, something that could change their lives.
So the miracles were a way of getting people's attention and preparing them for a deeper truth.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
They were like a bridge between the physical and the spiritual.
Right.
Making the invisible visible.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And once people crossed that bridge, they were more open to hearing about spiritual nourishment, right? About this bread of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The miracles created a sense of awe and wonder that helped them see beyond their limitations.
This makes me think about the role of miracles in our own lives, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't walk on water or multiply food, but we can still experience awe and wonder that opens us up to something bigger.
I totally agree. It might be a beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
A deep conversation, a random act of kindness.
Right?
Those moments remind us that there's more to life than what we see.
It's like a little invitation to seek that deeper nourishment.
Yeah, like whispers from the divine.
I love that.
Gently guiding us toward a more meaningful life.
This has been such an insightful conversation.
It really has.
We've gone from the spectacular to the profound, from the physical to the spiritual.
It's been great.
But there's this one final thing I'd like to explore, choice.
Choice. Interesting. Tell me more.
Well, throughout these stories, people are making choices, right?
Right.
The disciples choose to follow Jesus even when they don't fully understand him.
Yeah.
The crowd chooses to seek him out even if their motives aren't totally pure.
Right.
And some choose to walk away when things get tough.
Yeah.
It seems like choosing is a big part of our spiritual journeys.
That's a great observation. You're right. Choice is like a thread running through our spiritual lives.
So we're constantly faced with choices like, do we hold on to our doubts and fears?
Yeah.
Or do we choose faith even when we're not sure?
It's a constant process.
Do we choose temporary happiness?
Right.
Or do we go for the nourishment that sustains our souls?
It's a big question.
It's like we're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
And the path we choose is the direction our life will go.
That's a powerful way to think about it.
And the good thing is we always have a choice.
We do.
Even when we're lost, we can choose to turn towards the light.
Yes.
To see things differently.
Right.
To open ourselves up to the possibility of change.
And those choices, those little decisions we make each day, they can bring us closer to or further from the bread of life.
It's amazing how much power we have.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It feels like we've been on this incredible journey today.
Yeah.
We've seen amazing miracles.
Right.
We've talked about these profound teachings.
It's been a lot.
What really sticks out to you as we finish our deep dive into these passages?
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the spectacle of it all.
Right.
But for me, the real lesson is this invitation to seek a deeper nourishment.
Yeah.
The kind that sustains our souls, not just our bodies.
It's not just about the bread that spoils. It's about the bread of life that truly nourishes us.
Exactly. And that comes from connecting with something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
Cultivating gratitude and making choices that reflect our deepest values.
So it's not just waiting around for something to happen.
No.
It's an active pursuit.
It is.
A journey of seeking and choosing.
We have to be intentional, you know, make space in our lives for reflection.
Right.
For connection.
Yeah.
For growth.
It's like we're being called to be more aware in our spiritual lives.
I love that.
It's not about waiting for change. It's about becoming who we're meant to be.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have a final thought to leave our listener with as we wrap up?
You know, the miracles we've talked about today, they're like powerful metaphors for the potential we all have inside us.
Oh,
we might not walk on water or make food appear.
Right.
But we can experience amazing change.
Yeah.
We can tap into this source of strength and wisdom to help us through challenges.
It's a journey that starts with just one step.
Yeah.
A step toward faith.
Yes.
Toward gratitude.
Definitely.
Toward that which nourishes our souls.
Beautifully said.
What a beautiful and empowering message to end on.
Thank you.
I hope this deep dive has inspired you to find your own bread of life.
Me too.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you next time.